Hey cousins, so we're back with another episode. Stay tuned as we sit down with prepping science teacher turned business owner, Matt Green. And yes, we're crossing the virtual pond and going to the UK. So stay tuned and we'll be back right after this commercial break. Hey cousins, have you joined the movement yet?
What movement might you ask?
My Balbo. That's right, My Balbo, B-A-L-B-O. It's a free political social app for the next generation of voters that fosters community engagement, encourages empowering discussions, and provides real-time political accountability. So if you're like me and you get absolutely overwhelmed when it's time for primaries or any type of election in your particular area, and just trying to find out research and get information on the candidates that are running, My Balbo's the one-stop shop for that. It pulls all of that information together so you can go to one place, one location, and get the information that you need to be an informed voter. So if you haven't already gone to mybalbo.com so that you can subscribe and download the app today, what are you waiting for? Go do it. mybalbo.com. Now, it's only available in the U.S. right now, but don't worry. Hopefully, it'll be available in other countries very soon. So again, go to mybalbo.com. Hey cousins, so we're back. I've been combing the streets of TikTok and I found another one. So in our journey of careers, entrepreneurship, traditional careers, non-traditional careers, we have virtually crossed the pond, as they say, and we are in the UK. So we have with us today on the virtual couch, Matt Green, who is a science teacher, traditional role, but untraditional way that he teaches science. So welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So I always like to kick it off with our inaugural question. Where were you? What camp were you when you were coming out of high school and you're getting ready to go into university or the workforce? Did you know at that time what your interest was and that it was in teaching, or at that time you didn't know what you wanted to do career-wise?
I wasn't sure of much. I mean, the only thing I was sure of is that I love science. Science, you know, it has always been something I've loved since I was a young kid. I'm a sci-fi nerd at heart, so anything to do with tech, the future, and finding out new things, I love, and discovering and understanding how things work. And then therefore a degree in biochemistry made sense for me, and then a master's in neuroscience made sense. And then when I finished that, it was about finding my feet. What am I going to do with this? Should I work in a lab? And I consider myself a people person, so just working in a lab is not something I can do for long hours. And then I went down the sales route for a little while. That was worse than cutting out your own eyeballs. So I left that fairly quickly. And then I discovered in that little bit of time that I like one-to-one teaching. And I went to become professionally trained as a teacher. And yeah, did that for 10 years up until last summer.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So how did you land into science? Because sometimes people want to be an astronaut, doctor, or they're heavily on the mathematics side. So what do you think was it that in your youth you were just drawn into just science and the world of science?
Gosh, it might have been just growing up watching sci-fi films.
Yeah.
I think I love sci-fi films even as a kid, and I'm still a sci-fi nut now.
Me too.
Why is that like that? And then, you know, asking my dad or my mom or the teacher if I was in school. And sometimes often the teachers didn't know, and then it'd be finding out the information. And, you know, science, GCSE, which is, you know, our qualification here at age 14 to 16, that was the subject I did best in. Then I went to do A-levels, which is the next level after GCSE before uni. And again, I did chemistry and biology, and then did okay there. And then I went to uni for biochemistry. But it's always been something that I've liked. I wanted to know how things work the way that they do.
Now, in teaching, you take a what most would say is non-traditional approach. So did you have a teacher in your past that you really admired or was a really big influence on you?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I had one of my favorite teachers in school. Was actually an English teacher, a guy called Mr. Dickinson, and he was a great teacher. Yeah. The kids, I don't think I would have cared for English at all if it wasn't for him, but he brought it to light. I always look forward to those lessons, and yeah, you know, I don't know if I've ever been as good as he is, but you know, he's someone I always aspire to sort of teach, like when I was in the classroom. And yeah, my non-traditional way, he was never rapping in class, but he didn't need to. His way was phenomenal.
I love it. So now, teaser over, audience. So Mr. Green, he is a rapper, and not like a 2 Chainz, not like some of the rappers that you see today. He takes material from science and lessons and raps about them. And I saw a couple of your TikToks. I came across the one where you were explaining eye color and heredity. And way that you explained it, I loved it, because I could remember being in high school and taking biology. And that was a tough lesson. That teacher, I'm pretty sure he's not in the profession any longer, because we could not understand it. We're asking him questions. He's having a difficult time. He's sweating. So the way that you explained it was just so simple. And I'm like, it was just so simple. And I loved it. So what made you want to take that approach, where you looked at it and said, well, what's a way that I can break this down and make complex information simple for my students?
Well, when I started my teaching career in the school, I think it was 2012 when I first started teaching in the school, you know, I always wanted to use analogies to explain things. So, you know, if I was teaching something like enzymes, how an enzyme specifically works in a particular chemical, you know, I might imagine, you know, you've got a key or a lock, and a lock works like an enzyme. And you've got a specific key, and that works in one lock, and only one key can work in one lock. And I'd always use analogies to try and make things as simple as I possibly could. I wasn't rapping back in those days, but the idea was trying to bring passion, energy, but make it relatable to what someone understands and knows, what that young person understands and knows. With the rap thing, I love it. I enjoy it. It's a phenomenally complex process of writing, because it's taking that same idea of, it can't just rhyme for the sake of rhyming. It has to take a concept, and regardless of the rhyming, I would have to be able to explain it in 1 minute in a way that would make crystal clear sense. And then adding the rhyming on top of it, and the flow, is another layer of complexity. But you know, I enjoy it. So it's always make it make sense first, and then do line for line to make it rhyme, have a structure to it. And yeah, sometimes it can take 4 hours if I'm lucky. Sometimes it can take 10 hours to construct something if I really want it to make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, because as people, we're not just, you know, one dimensional, right? There's just multiple parts to us. And so, yes, you love science, and you went into the route of now teaching it. But if you weren't doing science, what else appeals to you? Is it something that you would have been in, let's say, the music industry, or you would have been just a creative, like in the arts? What else would you would have been doing if not science?
That's a good question. I probably would have been running a business of some kind, because even before I did the teaching, you know, I was in sales because I liked the idea of eventually having my business one day, which I now have. And I've got 2 businesses, which the rapping is one of them, but the major one is the tutoring company that I own and run. So whether it was this company, it would just be something else that I would have stumbled on. But it made sense for me to do this, because I know education, I know what makes teaching work well, and I've got a bit of marketing experience. So I just combined those together. So I think, yeah, no matter what, I would have run my own business in some capacity.
Okay. Now, children can be just huge critics, right? All ages, children, teenagers, adults, right? So the first time you rolled this out, what was the experience like, and what was the reaction?
Interesting question. You know, I had someone recently asking me something like this, and I always expected to be ripped apart
and torn. Goodness.
That was sort of my expectation. I was like, you know what? I've got to bite the bullet on this. And I was going to I'm going to be chewed up and spat out. But you know, you can't improve if you don't take the plunge. And it's never been anywhere near what I expected. You know, I would say I have an average thick skin. I've got the thicker skin out there, but, you know, I can take a hit. But, I mean, when I first started on Instagram, I think it did okay, didn't do anywhere near I expected. TikTok flopped. So that was more of a hit rather than anyone cussing it. It was just like, right, this is such a clever idea. Got to believe myself. This is going to get a million views. I know it. I just know. Views. It takes its time. 20 views. Well, it's going to work. 100 views later. And I see someone do another TikTok saying, hey, watch me eat this egg. 20 million views. Well, this took me 30. And back then, I didn't really know about the algorithm or people's attention or how it worked. So it was a bit devastating from that perspective. But no one was really cussing it. People would sort of say, oh, this is an interesting way to learn, out of sympathy, maybe. On Instagram, I already had a following. So I used to get some comments, but it was about 60% positive and 40% the negative was so tame. It was essentially ineffective. If someone said, you know, you should take a run and jump now or just stop, you're the worst thing ever, maybe I'd be affected. But it was stuff like, why have you ruined the Fresh Prince? Or I used to like this song, oh, I don't boy. Like it. But though, you know, those, as far as I'm concerned, aren't terrible things. I've seen people on TikTok, they sort of pour their heart out and say something and think, oh, what are they being cussed for? And someone says something like, oh, what's wrong with your head shape? I'm like, oh man, if I got that.
Oh gosh.
that sort of stuff would probably upset me. And I'm yet to get that. Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen one day, but it hasn't happened yet.
They could be savage. So tell me, what is it like in your class when your students are taking a test? I can imagine there's humming. Someone's tapping on the desk. Maybe they're repeating one of your raps as they're filling it out. Do you catch them doing that?
Well, I'm not in the classroom myself anymore. So I quit classroom teaching 2021 July. But I still have, we've got 300 students within the company. And you know, I get a lot of DMs every day and I get a lot of comments from students. And they very often say, I can see them say, oh, Miss caught me humming in the class today, or I was singing that all the way into the exam. And you know, this, I get those sorts of comments maybe in the level of thousands. So I know students are doing it. You know, I wish I could still be in the classroom myself to see it now, but there was too many things. I had to quit because it was, I was doing, I think, 20 one-to-one lessons myself. I was growing this company. I was doing the rapping and I got 3 kids at home. And both the rapping and the company are growing. So it's like I have to bench the school for now. Maybe one day I'll go back into it. But yeah, it's just the rapping and the company now.
So now lead us into how you know, the company spawned off. Because one of the things that we like to share with our listeners is you may start off on one route, but that's not necessarily where you end up. And this is a perfect example of it, right? Traditional route. Have a job, stable, consistent, but you're like, I want to do something else because it's in you, right? So how did you decide to even make that leap with, I don't want to pursue this anymore, I'm going to do my own thing? And that's not an easy decision to make. So can you share with us how you came about with that decision?
Yeah, of course. So I think 2014, so going back nearly 8 years ago, I had a flourishing career in the school and, you know, loved it, but I was also getting bookings for one-to-one lessons for me personally. And it was getting to the point where it's just bookings left, right, and center, and no one was leaving. People were singing praises, and then, you know, they put their money where their mouth is, they tell their friends would call me. And I was getting so busy, I was able to forecast and think that very soon people will ring and I'm gonna have to turn things away. And I was like, is there any way to capitalize on this? And I thought the best way would be to open an agency, start hiring. I tutor myself, but for all the extra, you know, I'm able to hire out. I did that, got a partner. We both broke our backs to, well, I say both, more one than the other, but I won't go into that. Tried to get that off the ground. It worked fairly well, but ultimately there we had a partnership dispute. So the company had to be closed down. So that was a major blow, because it was, to be fair, it wasn't doing amazingly well, but it was a point that if I was able to make all the decisions I wanted, it would be able to continue taking off. It was like a very early trajectory upwards. Nothing that would allow you to quit your job, but it wasn't making a loss and we were getting bookings. But
and you knew you had something. You were like, I'm on to something here.
Yeah, I knew he had something, knew he was going on something, but you know, ultimately the dispute was, it was a what's the word, is it a checkmate situation? No, not check, stalemate. It was a stalemate, not checkmate situation. No one would budge. So closed it down, and I thought, you know what, I can't do this. So I think after 1 month, I thought, I'm going to start from scratch, the ground up alone. And I did that. I was still full-time in school, had two kids at this point. And I thought I'd give myself 1 year. And I think after 1 year, I went from zero clients to five and two cancelled. That was a bit of a blow, but then I thought, again, yeah. I can't chuck the towel in. Sometimes it's that first amount of monumental effort to get the train rolling. And then once it's rolling, pushing it. So I used that logic. And then 3 turned to 30 in 6 months.
Wow.
And then I was able to ring up the head teacher and say, look, can I go part-time and go from 5 days a week full-time to 3 days? He said, yes. The extra time gained, I was able to take 30 to 70. COVID hit. We lost a whole bunch of clients. I didn't need exams anymore. So we went down to 50 clients. But then I took a gamble. I thought, you know what? I'm going to give up another day, take 3 days to two, ask if I can relinquish my head of department position to gain more time and take more one-on-one lessons personally to mitigate the loss of salary. But just keep the ball rolling. And I thought, I'll give myself 1 year on 2 days a week, and I should be able to get enough income that I can quit completely. And that worked. So the following summer, 2021, last year, I quit completely. And we were able to go into last September on 150 clients a week, 150 lessons a week, which we've now doubled, starting this September, 100 lessons a week. So that's good. And the wrapping science was happening in between that. So this time ago, 2 years ago, that's when I started. I didn't even think it would generate income. I don't really know what I thought the idea was going to be. I thought it might help kids, but at the same time, be a marketing tool for the business. But it ended up not bringing in any parents, as it shouldn't, because it's for kids, but then marketers wanted sponsored posts. So that's why I consider I have two completely separate businesses. One, I market to parents, and the other one will always be free, and that's for 13 to 16 year olds. And that makes income, because schools book me and sponsors want me to promote their stuff if it's, you know, if it's relevant for students and positive for students and not harmful in any way, then I promote. And that, so therefore, and that's where I am now. And I'm continuing to push those both things out there.
Yeah. And man, I appreciate you sharing that, because when people see who you are today and what you're doing, they think, oh, he's got it together. He's always had it figured out. It's so easy behind the scenes. And you kind of sharing, like, it's not that easy. I didn't wake up and was, you know, successful in your eyes the way I am. I'm hearing you had an ability to be persistent. You didn't give up and you persevered through all of this, because you could have just said, okay, squash it, I'm done with this. But being an entrepreneur, you are faced with roadblocks time and time again, but yet you believed in the vision of what you were doing and you just kept going full steam ahead. So thank you for sharing that. I mean,
And then there was one thing that you pointed out that I thought was interesting, because a lot of times when people are thinking about a business venture, they're faced with the same thing that you were at one point. Do I go it alone or do I have a partner? And a lot of times people are nervous to go into business with others because of the feeling that if it fails, they wouldn't be able to start back up again like you did yourself. So with that being said, is there any takeaway or lesson learned that maybe you got from that experience of having it both ways, having a partner, but then having a business without a partner and solo?
Oh yeah, gosh, definitely. And as much as the first one failed, I couldn't go back and reverse anything. I wouldn't want to change anything that happened at all in either going back and not doing a partnership, and I wouldn't want to go back and not have that failure, because it was very, very essential to learning a whole bunch about how not to do things. And partnership wise, I would definitely partner again, but it would just be different. Obviously, you learn of your own weaknesses. There might be problems that other people introduce. There are obviously ways that we can deal with things differently. And partnership wise, if I was advising anyone, and I think I have advised your person here or there, I'm trying to gather my words here. If you're starting alone at the beginning, you know, partnerships can absolutely be bloody fantastic because of, you know, you both motivate each other and you both bring two different skill sets to the table. And those times you're going to have a low day, they're going to have a low day. Sometimes those don't overlap and that makes a big difference. Your low day, they bring you up. Their low day, you bring them up. Whereas if you're on your own, you have a low day, it doesn't matter. You just got to get out of bed and get it done. There is no excuse no matter what. So that is one of the benefits of a partnership. But I just think it's probably the early days. You need to have a better connective of what both goals are and what both exit plans are and what probably like the next 2 or 3 years are. And be honest, because if that honesty isn't there and people don't stick to the plan, that's when things can cause problems, which is what happened in my case.
Yep. And what's appealing for you with that one-on-one time with a client versus having a room full of, let's say, 20 or 25 people at one time and trying to teach a lesson?
So for me, I loved one-on-one because you were able to get so much more achieved in that time with one student. With a class, as entertaining as it is, and I've always found it entertaining, I've loved teaching classes. You know, you might only be able to, if I put it in percentage terms, you might be able to get them from 0 to 60 or 70% if you looked at every average student. But if you had a one-on-one, you know exactly what their needs are. There's no distraction for one, so you can take them from 0 to 100 in that same time. And you know, at one point I was doing both, and I liked them both. I liked having one-to-one time, but then having a sort of more showmanship, entertainment factor of delivering a class. You can have a laugh here. You can do certain things that don't make sense one-on-one, and it's just a bit more engaging from the teaching perspective. So I've always loved both, but nowadays I don't really do one-to-one myself anymore. It's more if I go into schools, it's more the showman stuff, which of course I would always love.
Yeah. Question for you now. So sure. I think of Dr. Jekyll and Hyde, right? Do you feel that the rap and everything else that started off as just this idea and kind of being creative and, you know, this could work, has it taken a life of its own where you're like, I've lost control of this and I can't walk it back? Or is it more like, I want more and I'm going to keep pushing myself to bring out just other things to the public?
It's a funny thing. I like the idea of success. Obviously that's why I'm pushing for it. You know, being able to create a good life. Strangely, I'm not very attracted to the idea of fame at all. I very much would like to continue the rest of my life walking around thoroughly unrecognized at all times. And I don't think, you know, no one in the public, no one ever has ever mentioned, oh, you're that guy, apart from a few parents and my kids at work. And when I go into schools, kids say, oh, we see you on TikTok and we signed this, which was crazy when that happens. I've got a few TV things that are in the pipeline, but this is all in the goal of my simple mind of getting myself out there and making more people aware of the rap so I can support more students. And, you know, I think I've got something like 250,000 followers now. Ideally, that should be 2.5. But if I look at the UK market, that's what it can be. And because I know that's what it can be, I have every intention of making that happen. But I don't want that to change me being able to walk down the street with and not be known, because I quite like that and I wanted to stay known.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, it's a slippery slope, you know.
The worst comes to worst, but you know, if I get all verified and blue ticks and TV shots and all this stuff, people start knowing, I can just stop doing it and you fade into obscurity.
You'd be like, catch my content on YouTube. Come on.
Yeah.
So talk to us about, with every business, whether it's your passion and your purpose or not, you have your good days and you have your bad days. I think a lot of times people unrealistically have the thought that when they're doing something that they love, you'll always enjoy it and you'll never have a rough period or anything of that sort. So what would be one pro to what you're doing now, and what would be one con to what you're doing now?
Oh gosh, the pros are easy. I'm just trying to think what the easiest pro would be. The pro to what I'm doing now is having sort of complete freedom to work when I want to, to do exactly what I want to do. Well, when I was in the classroom, outside of lessons, you know, I always struggled a little bit with sort of direction from above. Not that I've got any issues with authority, but sometimes you felt meshed in. And you know, I like the freedom of being able to think, oh, do you know what? I've got a great new idea for a group session, or a great idea for a rap, or actually, do you know what? I'm going to change this a little bit. I just do it. I don't think about it now. Whereas in the classroom, it wasn't such a way of thinking, oh, do you know what? I can change the department this way. How about the school does it this way? And these aren't my decisions, so I can't do that. It's just, you've got your students. I've got my freedom in my own classroom. So that's always what I love. But you know, if I've got new ideas, you go above, oh yeah, but then there's this problem, so no. Okay, what about this? Oh yeah, but then it was, so no. But now I can just do what I want freely. As well as family, that's a big thing for me. I love being able to do the pickups and drop-offs every day. I never lose my gratitude for that, because in the early days, I was 2 days a week being able to do that with the kids. And then when it's the school days, mad stress in the morning of sorting that out, then going to work myself. Whereas now, you know, I might be working all hours around the sun, but I can just choose to work from 4:30 to 8:30. It's a school run, drop all the kids, me and my wife do that, and then come back to work again, pick the kids up, because I can just, as long as I haven't got meetings, I can do it anytime. And maybe I've answered the con in there, but I don't really see it as a con, because I like to work every hour around the clock pretty much, you know, as long as it doesn't interfere with family. But the con might be, it's romantic to sort of say, oh yeah, I can choose my own flexibility, but you might have been doing 10 hours a day as a teacher, whereas now I might be doing 14 hours. So it might be more hours, but I can just dump stuff and go off in the middle of the day when I want to now, whereas as a teacher, I couldn't do that. And the relentless responsibility, you know, if I have a sick day as a teacher or in any work form, you can still go, I'm sick today, not go in, somebody else can deal with that. Whereas the buck stops with me. There's no issue whether I'm feeling ill or feeling down. If there's a problem that's come up, that has to be dealt with. And that never goes away. But to me, that's such a tiny, tiny con in relationship to the freedom that I don't care. So that would be the only thing I would say to maybe someone that doesn't have the same mentality to me. They think, oh, God, that sounds so great. Get more money. You have freedom. I can work every hour around the sun. Yeah, but every hour around the sun is a lot. And when you get down days and you've got two free problems cropping up on your phone, you can call in sick for work and somebody else can deal with those problems. When it's yours, you've got to deal with those problems immediately.
That's a good point. I'm glad that you definitely painted that picture, because I think that's another part of especially entrepreneurship that a lot of times people don't realize. They're not realizing there's late hours. Especially starting out, you don't have the assistant, the accountant, the other person to pass something to. You are all of those different roles. So now, where can people find you? So find you on social media, but also if they are in the area, they're interested in your services and they want to reach out, how can people contact you?
So me personally, all my tags are mattgreen.jgm. So I'm mattgreen.jgm on Instagram and TikTok, and mattgreen.jgm on YouTube and Twitter. My company, as you can see there behind me, is JGM Science Tutors. And you can just type in JGM Science on Google. I think it pretty much comes up anywhere. We are UK based. We don't sort of see ourselves location, because we do everything online. So all our lessons are, all our one-to-one lessons and group lessons are all online. I don't think we have any clients in America yet, but we've served pretty worldwide. We've served Dubai, and we still do, Russia, New Zealand, and there's a few others I forget now, but it's mainly we provide positions for the UK exam boards, so we don't expect to serve anyone anywhere else. Not that we don't want to, it's just that you shouldn't really be doing GCSE out, or we don't expect anyone to be doing GCSE outside of the UK. Sometimes people are at international schools and they need it, and we're happy to serve if they'll have us.
Very nice.
Yes, thank you for that. And for listeners in the US that are thinking of college or thinking of some sort of college program where they are wanting to go abroad or go to an international school, would you be able to prepare them for whatever the criteria would be for that?
So that's for someone that wants to go to an international school?
Yes, but they're from the US, but they want to go to a school in, let's say, the UK or somewhere else.
We always take what we call non-standard services on a case-by-case basis. So we should be able to. What we always do, if anyone is doing either non-A-level GCSE or Key Stage 3 UK, because we've had calls like that in the past, we'll always find the full details, and then we'll get in touch with all our tutors and see who the best suited person is. And if we have someone, we'll connect. And if not, we'll always say thanks, but unfortunately, we can't provide the level that we'd like in this instance.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking time out of your day to chat with us. Are there any final thoughts as we close out to the people?
I mean, the only thing that sometimes I say, if it's for young people or people that are going into entrepreneurship, when you were mentioning about the hard days, this is just sometimes my sick way of thinking, but I hear this on motivational things all the time. And I always consider those bad days, those low days, those hard points to be the only points that matter. And I use that as a gym mentality. If you're trying to get big in the gym and you can do 10 reps, if you get 8 reps and it hurts a little bit and you stop, you ain't going nowhere. Those games aren't happening. And if you're running a business and you've got those low days and you stop, then your business will probably stay at that level. But it's the breaking through that tends to take things. That's one thing I like to tell people. So anyway, I thought I'd say.
Yeah, those are great words. Thank you for that. I mean, that resonates. Push through.
Yeah. It makes a little difference.
As usual, thank you for listening in. Hope you learned something. Hope we were able to encourage you or inspire you in some sort of way. If you want to get in touch with Matt or you want to explore his business services, definitely check out the show notes. I have the links to all of his social media and his business websites there. I encourage you to like, subscribe, and follow. And like, subscribe, follow, and share our show. Help us increase our reach. Tune in next week where we will be sitting on the virtual couch with Jackie Vernon, who is showing us a different way to introduce an old school concept, etiquette. That's right. You heard it here first. As always, we're encouraging you to think outside the box.